Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Have you thought of breaking through? Ain't it part of what you do? Catch a victim while he's dumb. Break his larynx with your tie time. And it's time to get high. Well, this ain't no goddamn dream. It's exactly what it seems. Wake up today. Just to lay back down and say I won't be coming back. Let's call it a heart attack. Give me some of that knack. This is just a final payback. They all flipped on me. Took my passions, left me be. When I had a place to sit, a goddamn attitude to fit. Talking smooth, knew where to spit. But things have changed and I have quit. Got nothing to look forward to but a backlash full of lies. You're too late for where you're going. This is fate, the whistle's blowing.
It's much too late.
It's all too late.
You're much too late.
Like a piss hole punk with.
And welcome back, boys and girls, for another special edition of the Michael Deacon Program. Joining me in a moment is Mr. Robert Stanley. Robert is a leading authority on modern and ancient mysteries. He has spent the past 40 years researching and reporting on controversial topics such as UFOs, government conspiracies, and the paranormal. His work has been featured on radio, print television, and of course on the internet. Stanley is the author of several books, including Close Encounters on Capitol Hill and Covert Encounters in Washington, D.C. Now, without further ado, let's bring in Mr. Robert Stanley. And joining me right now is Mr. Robert Stanley. How are you, my friend?
Doing well, Michael. Thanks for having me back.
No problem. Welcome back to the program. Always a honor and pleasure. And of course, right around the holidays. So I'm so glad we get to do this together here and share all this information you have to share with us this evening.
Well, I have a feeling some people are going to enjoy it and other people are going to hate it. But
My favorite.
I can say is, well, you know, there's some things that need to be clarified. And part of me wanted to wait till after the holidays.
Yeah.
But just because, you know, people get really stressed out for different reasons, usually family or finance.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the deal. We're all family, and that would include the fallen angels. We are related to them. And ignoring them or pretending like they don't exist is a problem. That everybody, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, they are wreaking havoc on us and have been for many thousands of years, maybe since the beginning of what we consider to be this universe or our place in it as we currently understand it. So everybody in this audience, I'm sure, is familiar with the narrative of the Garden of Eden. And if you recall that it was a fallen angel that tricked Eve into eating something. Now, obviously, it wasn't an apple, because if she had just eaten an apple, that really wouldn't have been enough to cause all these problems that we're experiencing. So how do I say this? Okay, so most people say that that fallen angel would have been Satan, and that's just a title. It means adversary. Some people say it's Lucifer. That also is a title. It means light bearer or shining one. Other names or titles are Nakash, which is also a radiant being.
The shining one, yeah.
Yeah, another, or serpent sometimes. Nakash is sometimes a beguiling serpent, by the way, which is weird. I don't know how that can happen other than what I've told you many times. I'll just have to repeat for people who have never heard this before.
Yeah,
in the
no
Sumerian
worries.
In the Sumerian language, which is something to do with Anunnaki, which is, again, which is from heaven to earth they came. Not the heavens, but from heaven, which is not in this, it's not this universe. They literally came from another universe here. We came from that heaven, so-called. In their language of the Anunnaki, the Shining Ones, a serpent is what they call, would be equivalent of a scientist. And a one-eyed serpent would be a lesser scientist, someone who's only focused on the physical. A two-eyed serpent would be someone who, a scientist who would be, I guess you'd call metaphysical as well as physical in their understanding and their abilities. So this one-eyed serpent, this fallen angel, has a name. The one that approached Adam and Eve, allegedly, and that would be Samael, S-A-M-A-E-L. If you've never heard that name, if you've never looked it up and read about this individual, I highly recommend you do. You can do this quite simply by going to my Substack, robertstanley.substack.com. And at the top of the page there, it says Angelology. And if you click on that, the first article you're going to see is called The Forbidden Fruit, Origins of Evil on Earth. So let's kind of do it this way, Michael. What do you think the forbidden fruit was or is?
Well, I think the forbidden fruit was not exactly what we think it would be. Very much like how the serpent is merely a symbol of evil in the Bible. In my perception mm-hmm. of it, I don't think it's, I think it's definitely a metaphor for something else.
Okay.
And, you know, I will even dare to dig even deeper and say, in biblical accounts and just in sort of how things are portrayed in photographs or paintings, what have you,
mm-hmm.
it almost seems like Eve has a relationship with the so-called serpent almost.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I'm starting to think there's something more to it there that is let known by the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. There are many accounts of that alleged sexual encounter between herself
I'm
and
thinking,
this
yes,
serpent.
I'm thinking they had a sort of a relationship of sorts.
Well, yeah, and that's why some people speculate that Cain killed his brother, Abel, that he was the seed. He was the son of, or one of the sons, of Samael, and that Abel was the son of Adam. But you may have heard this phrase, the fruit of the womb.
Right, right.
That would be a child, right?
Correct.
A baby. Okay, so this is where the connection comes in. The fruit that was consumed, the forbidden fruit that was consumed by Adam and Eve allegedly was a child. And that child was fathered by Samael.
Mm.
Now, I don't know if he was the child of impregnation by Samael and Eve. That's not clear to me. All I know is the account that I just told you about,
right,
which you could find on my Substack. Man,
it's a very dark sort of subject, but I have heard of that in the past before, but I wasn't quite sure if perhaps that was true or not. But
it's labeled mythology, Jewish. Hebrew
correct
mythology, because there's no way to prove it. But if you're going to play
right.
that game, you could say that everything in the Bible is mythology.
Right.
More or less, because you can't prove it, especially in the Old Testament. Like the thing with, there's so many things. But
there's a lot of things, especially like the Lost Gospels, the Apocrypha, the Book of Enoch. A lot of these things are not considered, I guess not, correct under certain scholars' eyes, I would imagine.
And that's why it took over 100 years and all these different men writing, rewriting, censoring, and then ultimately collating a compilation of books that they just call the book. That's what the Bible means. The
Correct.
Book.
The book.
Which
not
is
a nice name.
Weird. Well, it's kind of weird, but if you take just look at it, black and white, nuts and bolts, it's like
right.
Something is missing, obviously, or maybe quite a few things. But all right, so what I said was based on so-called mythology, but there's also an Islamic version of the same thing, and they seem to correlate with one another, which is that Samael, Lucifer, presented a child to Eve, and he just showed up. And the way it's in this narrative, it is Samael shows up and he says to Eve,
right.
I want you to watch my son or this child while I'm away, which is kind of weird by itself, you know, because who is it? It doesn't even explain who is Samael in relationship to Eve.
Right.
Okay. But to go further, after he leaves, Adam shows up, and now the child, this boy, starts crying uncontrollably. For whatever reason, Adam slays the child, and then allegedly they both eat the child. And when Samael, Lucifer, comes back, he says, where's the child? And they say, we don't know. Now, there's more to this story. And I came across it when I was doing a very deep dive into the field of angelology. My understanding of it in hindsight is that this was a bit of a setup for me, that I was called to do this because most other people would never take the time, let alone have the tenacity to try and analyze all the different pieces of the puzzle and come up with some cohesive, kind of like a tapestry or some clarity about our relationship with these entities.
Right. And Robert, please explain to the first-time listeners out there a little bit how you received this calling of sorts.
Yeah, that was weird. So it had to be 2020. Yeah, during the COVID things. It was just before Easter in 2020 that I woke up one morning and I knew that I'd had a conversation with a group of entities and that they had asked me to help them in the following way. They said, we want you to reach out. And this is when I was still actively hosting the Unicus Radio Hour on KGRA. And my website was active, unicusmagazine.com. It's back, but I mean, it was different. Anyway, I was doing a lot of media. And what they asked me to do was to ask everyone that I was reaching through social media to ask them, the angels of light, the benevolent angels, for help dealing with the fallen angels, that we were not in a position to extricate ourselves fully from their control. And this is a weird thing to wake up having had this, like a knowledge of a conversation, but it was obviously they didn't want me to know their names or their faces. I just had this complete awareness when I woke up. And the other thing was, so I remember saying to them, oh, sure, I could do that. That's no big deal. And they said, well, if you do that, you're going to get kicked off the radio. And I said, so, you know, that's no big, I could care less about that. If it's that important, I don't mind doing it while I'm still on the radio. That's not a problem. And then they said, but you know, if you persist with that, then you could get kicked off the planet. They will probably try and kill you. I'm like, what?
That's a serious threat right there.
What? Yeah. Because, and here's the thing. It's not that I'm completely naive. It's just that I wasn't fully informed. And they knew that. So that's why they were warning me. It's like, don't be too quick to just say yes, because there's consequences for this. And you need to be careful. I mean, this wasn't a small thing that they were asking, even though it sounded very benign. The way that they put it to me, you know, they weren't trying to scare the crap out of me. Like, oh my God, you got to do this. It wasn't like that. It was, and I also did not fully understand the ramifications, which is, this is all in hindsight. And it actually worked out pretty well. Yeah, I did get kicked off the radio. And that's what made me later, when I started presenting all this information about the fallen angels, I was like, they said you're going to get kicked off the radio. And then it happened. Yeah. And then it happened. And I went, oh, crap. That means the other thing could happen, too. And so, no, I don't want to get killed. That's the main reason I started backing away from doing shows, especially about this.
I see. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm sure anyone, any rational minded individual would think, well, maybe I might need to stop. Maybe I might have to reevaluate this. But on the other hand, you're like, well, that was just a random call.
Yeah. Except, okay. So that morning when I woke up and I had that, it was just like, just as clear as you and I are having this conversation, except that it was way more intense.
Oh, I bet.
And I remember waking up and I was actually sitting upright in my bed, which I thought was very strange. And I knew I'd done this, made this agreement, and then I went into my wife's bedroom and I said, "Hey, I just want to explain something to you. I made this agreement, and don't be too concerned, you know, but I'll do the best I can to be careful under the circumstances." Yeah. But they wouldn't have asked me to do this, even though I didn't fully understand what it meant at the moment. I just told her, I said, you know, they're asking me to do something that they think is very important. And the reason I found out later is because, like, if we didn't ask for help, they can't, the benevolent ones, the angels of light, they cannot violate our free will. They will not violate our free will. And most of us here have been under the influence of the fallen angels for so long, we don't realize that we're still working for them or worshiping them. Why would a person even ask for help? In fact, so if they showed up, if the benevolent ones just showed up tomorrow and they didn't really have our permission, because a majority of the people here are still under the influence of the fallen ones, it would be considered like a violation and or an invasion of our sovereignty.
Right.
Kind of weird if you think about it. So it was a big deal. And ultimately, I did accomplish the mission. And the reason I'm still talking about it is now is because this whole thing about human trafficking, especially about all the children that are disappearing. Yeah. Especially right now in America, what's going on is absolutely satanic. And again, that just means adversarial to God. So, the other thing I wanted to clarify, which has been made clear to me anyway, was that there is no war in heaven. Heaven is still intact. The war, the conflict, the insanity is here in this universe that they created and then invited, you know, whoever wants to come, sure, come over to our... You can leave heaven and come into our universe. It's really, and it started off kind of interesting, but it, like I mentioned to you before, but it by degrees, it became more and more corrupt and cruel and insane, criminally insane. So it's part of this process I mentioned before about separating from God by degrees. And ultimately, they're trying to take us to the furthest point of separation possible. I mean, that's their goal anyway. But a lot of us are waking up to the fact and we don't want to go along with it. Obviously it's painful. And, I think it's completely unnecessary, but obviously other people would disagree with that.
And by the way, Robert, when you mentioned, missing, children, what do you mean specifically?
There are tens of thousands of children that are coming across the southern border that are being accompanied or couriered through customs and handed over to what they call sponsors, which is usually pedophiles. And this kind of comes full circle already. This is why I prefaced everything by saying, look, the fallen angels taught us a lot of things. They gave us things, but, you know, certain things like technology and stuff, but they also taught us some really, really sickening behavior. And especially when it comes to taking advantage of children, it's off the charts. And it's like they're not going to stop, man. You cannot really have a rational conversation with people that are that far deep into the dark side.
Absolutely. And in regards to child trafficking and just the southern border issues as we've been having forever, that they go hand in hand. I mean, a lot of those people get taken advantage of, and that's when they get led down different avenues of what happens when you want to cross into America and you fall victim to different shady characters of sorts, some connected to the cartel, and some people actually will help you cross over here out of the kindness of their hearts, but there's not too many people like that. No. Actually, it's mostly the cartel now, and rumor has it there's even some corporations that have sponsored some of this activity as well.
Yes.
NGOs, but they're also responsible for the human trafficking part and organ harvesting rings that are very popular. And furthermore, and there's that movie, The Sound of Freedom, that everyone liked. Yes.
Except the Satanists.
I didn't watch that movie until much later. Until later, I did actually see it with my dad. But then I realized during that movie, there's certain clips they show, and I'm in the next town from what they showed on in that movie. They showed Calexico, and that's where, you know, I'm in El Centro, and I'm not very far from the border. So I know very well what goes on. It's kind of common knowledge and common sense what goes on out here. And I've seen, actually, up in the mountains, I've seen buses coming in and shipping people out. And sometimes I even saw large crowds wearing all black, which was kind of unusual, to say the very least.
Yeah. So they subvert and pervert and invert everything. Okay. They turn it all in its head and or inside out or however you want to look at it. But the thing is, all the human agencies and agents or operatives that we see are collaborating with or working directly for the fallen angels. And very few people are talking about that, in my opinion. Or if they are, they're not doing it in a way that I feel is credible enough to get the public's attention.
Yeah.
You know, so this is why, again, why I very cautiously coming forward with this information. It's obviously very disturbing, but it's essential that we understand. Like, you can't solve a problem unless you know you have one.
Right.
And this is our problem. I mean, collectively, it's everybody, whether you're who, doesn't matter who you are, where you are on this planet, we are all being affected by this highly dysfunctional relationship with these entities. Again, and we're related to them. Can we play that clip of what Tucker Carlson said about it? Because I thought that was fascinating. It just
absolutely
came out today.
Before we segue into that, I was going to go and refer back to the Book of Enoch and how the Book of Enoch sort of revealed that God allowed Enoch to return back to Earth to give his children certain secrets, rather.
Yeah,
if I recall correctly. And I always wonder, is that one of the reasons why the Book of Enoch is not mentioned? It's left out of the Bible. And I'll go further into this with you, but let's definitely play that clip here.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I got a lot to add to that. That I just wanted to run by you, and let's see, where is that clip? Oh, there it is. I have found it, and here we go.
My personal belief, based on a fair amount of evidence, that they're not aliens. They've always been here. And I do think it's spiritual. That's my view.
So,
and again, it's not provable, but based on the evidence, I think.
I'm with you.
Absolutely.
If the U.S. government has in fact had direct contact with these beings, whatever they are, I've already told you what I think they are, and has entered into some sort of agreement with them, which is the claim of informed people, I would say, whether they're right or wrong, I can't say conclusively.
But wait.
If that is true, I mean, it's a very, very, very heavy thing.
Yeah. A lot of people say interdimensional beings.
Right, I want to ask, are angels and demons, or how would you describe these beings?
You know, I'm getting into the realm of conjecture, so I just want to say that flat out.
Entity?
But one thing I know for a dead certain fact, having seen it, is that there is good and evil, that we are being acted upon at all times. And I think every person can feel that in himself. I mean, there are moments when you are moved to do things that are much better than you actually are, and that are also more evil and destructive than you actually are. You are subject to forces from outside yourself. That is absolutely true. Now, we can argue about what they are, but every person in the room, if he's reflective, will tell you, yes, I know what you're talking about. And so there are forces that are not human, that do exist in a spiritual realm of some kind, that we cannot see.
It's sort of shut down there.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's good enough. And I mean, I'm blown away that finally somebody who's considered to be a public icon like that is daring to step out and discuss it.
It is rather interesting to hear him say that, even though I know he said something along the lines in a recent, not recent, but in an interview maybe just a couple weeks back, under the same vein, saying basically the same thing. But I thought, why not just say what's really dark that bothers you instead of being a gatekeeper of sort?
Because
just let it all out. You're already you're not signed to any contracts now. Just let loose now.
I know, but and maybe he will, but he could. He risks alienating quite a few people.
Oh, that's
like
right. Yeah,
millions or billions of people that are
conservative too.
Not just conservative, but fundamentally religious.
Right, right.
And this is why I'm being very cautious about the way I present the research I have about angels and the field of angelology. I didn't even know that it existed. I've heard of, I knew about demonology, but angelology wasn't even on my radar until that morning when I woke up and had that knowing that I'd made an agreement with, I was assuming that these were angels of light. And the weirdest thing was that after I talked to my wife and, you know, we got up and we're having our lunch later, and I looked up on a bookshelf, and there was a book called Angelology that I had picked up like a year earlier when we first got back from Hong Kong. It was just sitting there, and it's a novel, and I really shy away from novels in my research.
You don't like them at all? Novels?
No, they're okay, but Mike, I only have so much time in my life.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. You don't spend. Yeah.
I read for information's sake, not to be entertained.
Sure. I know. Yes.
Okay. So that's why nothing against novels. But this particular, not so-called novel was based on a real field of study, and the things in it I could recognize as being, at least allegedly, being historically real. Other than that, you know, angels don't have wings, all right? But you know, it's a dramatic license, artistic license, whatever. And the upshot of that book, Angelology, was the fallen angels are here and they're manipulating behind the scenes, and that we can summon, there's a word for it, but essentially this is how the book ends, is this old little decrepit old lady summons an angel of light to whoop ass over some of these fallen angels who are basically just wreaking havoc.
Right. And see, that's what I was, that's why I was saying, or I was mentioning the Book of Enoch so much. Because Enoch is warning basically of the Watchers, the fallen angels who took on human bodies, and because of their crimes against mankind, were doomed to sort of remain on Earth.
That's all. I find that the summary of all of that in the book, The Shining Ones, is by Christian O'Brien, is fascinating. However, just like the work of Sitchin, I take issue with the fact that they present it as we were primitive ape men when the so-called Anunnaki. I mean, there's no evidence.
I get that. Yeah. I now that you say that, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. But here's the thing. They're very good. These entities are very good at sophistry or sorcery or manipulation. I guess the current vernacular is mind control. And they do that because, you know, like all criminals, they like to lie. And they use that as a means of gaining advantage over us. So it's a form of subterfuge or camouflage. You know, I mean, if you see a predator, you're gonna run or fight or whatever. But if you don't see them, you're gonna let your guard down.
Right.
And the next thing you know, you're gonna, or something like that. It doesn't go well.
Right. It's believed that the fallen angels incarnated once, so why not again? And the cycle continues. So
clearly.
We're on the same vein here. We definitely both believe that. But I'm going back to Enoch again. He warned about all that coming and them wreaking havoc, starting wars, and manipulating everything basically. So yeah. You definitely got to go back and read the Book of Enoch again. Now that all this is fresh in your mind, Robert, it'll blow you away because it lines up with a lot of things you're talking about now. So it's kind of blowing me away because I was just reading the Book of Enoch recently.
Yeah. Well, it's also, in my opinion, you know, it was it magically disappeared for quite a while, even though it was well known during the time when people were writing the Old Testament.
Right.
And it was considered to be quite credible. Later, when they were doing the compilation of and the editing of the so-called Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, all that was almost everything in it was left out in the books. The books, I mean, it wasn't just a book. There was, if you, that's the other thing. If you talk about Enoch, he like taught, supposedly wrote hundreds of books, and it was dictated to him by the gods. So here's the, and you know, the other thing is mistranslated over time. People obviously have different agendas or perspective. So I would have to say that when Enoch was taken up, he didn't go to heaven. He went to a haven of one of the Anunnaki that we would know as Anu, or possibly his son. But in either case, when you really dissect it and step back, you can see that he's not in heaven. He's having a conversation with entities here on Earth.
Right.
That, like Tucker said, they're not alien. That word means foreign. They can't be alien to us if they're actually living here among us and you know, having a relationship with us. They're just different.
They've been here.
Yes. They're still here. So this is, again, this is why. Okay. So I'm trying to get a running start at why is this matter? Well, because, again, if you go to my Substack, robertstanley.substack.com, and look at the article, scroll down till you see the article, You Can Handle the Truth. And that's all about the, you know, a revelation or revealing, exposing the fallen angels that are in Washington, D.C. They clearly are, but
yes, he wrote about that.
I didn't just write about it. I revealed the hidden history of this, and it's very frustrating for me. I'm not complaining. I just want people to understand. I need to explain this to you. I'm not giving up, but man, I'm telling you, the lack of interest in that information. I didn't make it up. I simply collated it all and put it into a timeline and presented it. The lack of interest tells me that there's something more going on here. It's not just because the government denies that there's anything happening. It's that in my opinion, the level of mind control that still exists, that comes from the fallen angels, is enormous.
Right. And let me just ask you this, Robert. You, in my opinion, I think I know the answer to this, but
mm-hmm.
do you think our government made an agreement with them a long time ago?
Well, I'll answer what you said about Book of Enoch. Apparently, before the flood, they had already subjugated us to work for them by offering to give us weapons of war, drugs, and other things that we thought were interesting.
Right.
You know, like I said, I'm telling you this because it's not like it happened in 1947. All right. This has been going on for thousands of years.
It goes back further, yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I was asked to ask the public to ask for help. I know that's just a very convoluted thing, what I just said, but that's what happened. And I have no idea how many millions of people actually have asked the angels of light or God or however you want to look at it for help to help us deal with these fallen angels that essentially have captured us, farmed us, enslaved us, and are still doing that. And it has to stop. It has to stop. But it has to stop individually. There's no way that an individual would take any steps or action unless they really thought there was a problem, that what we're talking about is real. I mean, Tucker obviously knows it's real. Like I said, though, he could really offend a lot of people at the peak of his popularity if he was to go too far out on that limb.
That's true. I wonder if he knows the significance of that black box that he's always in front of and how that's also used as a tool. He knows about television, I'm quite sure, how it's used.
Oh, yeah,
for
his dad was in the communication business for
the CIA. Mind control, yes.
Yeah, I know. They're all about that. I know that. Well, yeah, okay. So, but are there, what do you call, changelings, turncoats, guys that wake up one morning and have a conscience and decide to no longer serve the dark side?
Well, that's what TV's about, by the way. That's how the Archons get you.
Of course.
Yeah, that's how it works.
on many levels. Obviously, it's not just television now. It's the medium we're using. And they gave us that as well. DARPA has this group called the Mad Scientists, and or sometimes referred to as the Jason Society.
Yeah.
These very high-level scientists, and they are mad scientists because they come up with this stuff, or allegedly they're coming up with it. I'll tell you something else I found out very, very recently that I thought was fascinating is Colonel Corso. Colonel Philip Corso worked in the Psychological Warfare Department in the Eisenhower administration.
Mm.
Do you think maybe?
It all makes sense now. Yeah. Okay. Now that I know that, I know how significant that is because I knew the Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino.
Yes. So, you knew him or you knew about him?
He's been on my program many, many times. I knew him quite well. Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He told me many things.
Did he say anything about me?
No. Not about, you know, he never mentioned anything about a guest, but.
No. I mean, because I'd said things about him publicly and other people said, well, he doesn't like you. It's like, I could care less.
No, I've never asked him about anybody. Good. So, no.
He's gone now.
Yeah, he's dead now. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I had no idea that he had mentioned you before, Robert. That's
only
interesting.
He's part of the history.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Washington, D.C. and the whole Luciferian satanic nonsense that goes on there.
What we have today in the military and army is all things that all goes back to him.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Well,
he's responsible for all of it, though, for the fact that you could have different sort of religions and different sort of philosophies is because of him.
Well, again, people like that are just pawns for the archons. They're puppets. No,
that is
puppets.
Crazy.
Yeah. No. Well, okay. Yeah.
He loved me, by the way, Robert. He loved the show and thought the world of me. He thought I was top class, by the way. He thought I was number one. So knowing that, I'm like, woo, that's kind of scary. I'm like, holy shit.
Yikes. Okay. Michael, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Oh, the two Michaels. Yeah. Mike and Michael.
That's right.
Oh, Jesus.
So we got along great.
Interesting. That's really interesting.
But he's quite a frightening character, I'd say.
Well, a lot of that was just an act. And they all do that sort of, again, it's sophistry. It's sorcery, whatever. You know, they wouldn't have to put on all those airs if they really were powerful. You know, and they certainly wouldn't have to censor us and manipulate us if they were... if they were who they claim to be or wish they were. You know, I mean, here's the bottom line. They know that they're violating our free will and that there's consequences for all of that, and yet they do it. And like I told you, it didn't make sense. None of this crap makes sense to me because it seems insane. Why would anybody choose to behave that way and then hurt other people, you know, lie, cheat, steal, kill, and all that crap?
Yeah.
But now as I mentioned to you, you know, earlier, our conversations. Yeah,
sometimes our thoughts are not our own.
Well, clearly, but I mean, he made an agreement. He chose to go down that path and to collaborate with those entities.
Well, that's true. He did sort of manifest that.
But to expand on that, we all chose to come here into their realm, and that's one of the reasons why they consider us their property. We're subjects of their empire. And obviously they take it to the extreme sometimes, and we can say no, and that's part of our learning experience while we're here, is the conflict, the drama, you know, standing up to Satan, evil, whatever you want to call it, adversity. And it's a way of learning and testing ourselves and getting stronger. But ultimately, as I mentioned to you many times now this year, we're not from here, and we will ultimately wake up back home. At some point when we're ready, individually. It's not a collective thing, in my opinion. This so-called ascension is, to me, is just sheer nonsense.
I agree with you. We will return back to where we came from, that's for sure. And I don't think this is the end.
No, but what's really confusing is when, and it's one of the few things I agree with David Icke, is that when we have near-death experiences, usually, or specifically out-of-body experiences, a lot of times we think we are out. But in fact, we're just at different levels or different layers within the matrix that they created.
Absolutely. We're still trapped, even in the astral plane of sorts.
Yeah. 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 Yes. It's compartmentalized.
Isn't that scary? We're in some sort of weird hologram.
only partially. We're not entirely here. That's the other thing. I know when I say that, people are like, okay, Robert's definitely flipped his lid.
No, we're outside of, we're halfway in, halfway out, I'd
yeah,
say.
Yeah, yeah, we're projecting, like sort of like a video game, you know, where we're controlling from remotely an avatar.
And do you think that's one of the, well, judging on how Tucker's reacting so emotionally, I think he probably feels perhaps the American people would probably lose their mind if they found out the truth that we live in a weird sort of simulation of sorts, and none of it really matters. And that's probably why a religion was created in regards to social control.
Right. Yeah. There's many layers of control. Once we enter this realm, this universe, and agree to play by their rules up to a point, because we're still sovereign souls from the source, and they can run us through all these drills and weird machinations and mazes and but ultimately we're going to come out of this intact and hopefully a little wiser. Like, was, you know, probably never going to want to do, in fact, you know, this, I was thinking, in the Bible, it talks about a third of the angels fell. I don't think they all fell at once. I think it was just a few that said, hey, let's try this. And, you know, they create this separate universe.
Right.
Domain. And then they said, hey, guys, come on over. Come on. You're going to love this, you know. There's no,
it's better out here. You know, I'm wondering what was life like for a fallen angel coming down to Earth and sort of defiling the land, as they say.
Yeah,
I want to see movies. I want to see movies on that. I want to see more about how all that went on.
Okay, supposedly that, and I have real issues with people that claim that they can read the Akashic records. You know, very few people they claim.
Well, I've been hearing people make these claims since the 90s about Akashic records. Yeah.
Yeah, and they said, well, I can read the Akashic records. And yeah. I'm like, well, I can't, so I don't know if I can't validate what you're saying. So. And I don't really feel like taking your word for it. But here's the thing. I do think that everything is being recorded because it's all energy/consciousness. So what people who have had these near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences, this is what they describe.
That's what the Robert Monroe Institute tries to teach people about out-of-body experiences with astral projection, really. And there's different levels or steps you can take. Blah, blah, blah. But I'm sure you already know about all that. And there's places you could try to go. One of the highest places, like the park, I think it's called, and that's where you could see the Akashic records, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you heard this before, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the point is that there's, as we were saying before, this, if this is all scripted out, then there's got to be.
This is crazy, yeah.
Yeah, there's got to be archives of all of this stuff somewhere in some form or fashion. And so it's not a complete waste of time and energy that we're going through this. I guess temporary insanity is, I don't know really what else to call it.
It really is insanity. Living here on a day-to-day basis is insanity.
Well, I expect it to get even weirder.
It is. I mean, California is really losing its mind, especially with the drinking water now being approved.
Oh, yeah.
The waste now is being...
Toilet to tap, yeah.
Yeah, to consume. Why not? It sounds like a great idea.
Actually, I saw that too, and it's not new. They've actually been doing it other
for a
places.
While. I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just not telling people.
Yeah, like bottled water. I'm sure that's recycled goods. I'm sure.
Depends where you get it. I've been making a very concerted effort ever since I left California the first time. Went to Rhode Island. I would drive and pick up my own water from a spring, a certified spring.
Nice.
Yes. It didn't cost a lot, but it was a process. I would fill up the entire back of my little SUV with all these 5 gallon jugs. And we drank spring water. And then I went to Hong Kong. Same thing. I had it. I was buying spring water, certified spring water. And then I get to California, Temecula Valley. I was getting it from, what is that mountain there? Palomar, where they
Palomar,
have the telescope.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. There's springs up there, so I was drinking that water. That was fantastic. And anyway, I do think it makes a huge difference because we're mostly water.
Yeah. So, our body craves water.
No, not just water. It's just like air. If it's not clean, then it causes a lot of problems. And yeah, you're right. Proper hydration is what keeps lowers systemic inflammation. Most people are badly dehydrated, and the first symptom of dehydration is inflammation.
That's right. A lot of cardiomyopathy victims out there are very dehydrated as well.
So one of the things that came across my desk recently.
Yeah. Good segue.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the health thing. Can't trust. It's not. Yes. You can't trust science because of, well, what we kind of preface everything. It's not safe. It's not effective because it's satanic. Not everybody, but I mean, generally speaking, the allopathic medicine industry is
widely corrupt. Yeah, widely corrupt. And we saw them really come into play during the lockdown era and Operation Warp Speed and the godfather of the vaccine, Donald Trump.
Well, but the Pentagon already had it. They were the
I know, there was an experimental thing.
But they'd already done the experiments.
I had heard, I had talked to someone that was a DOD guy, and he actually took the vaccine many years ago, actually.
Whoa. Okay, so here's, you're familiar with the work of Royal Raymond Rife?
I can't say I am, to be honest.
Oh, okay, so.
Tell me.
Well, there's a reason why you don't know about, we are not allowed to know about him because the powers that be, they didn't want us to know how to actually heal ourselves. On so-called energy healing is based on frequencies, and everything in our realm here is based on sound and light, waves, patterns. So the plutonic solids can be replicated just using sound on a speaker. And you can take a speaker, turn it up facing the ceiling, put a piece of paper over it, and then put some sand on it, and use a sound wave generator, and you can literally, the process is called cymatics, C-Y-M-A-T-I-C-S, I believe. Yes. And it will, you can literally replicate all the different known solids as energy patterns. So what happened with Rife is that he actually could see the different frequencies. He came up with them. Before there was an electron tunneling microscope, he came up with some other version, his own, and he could actually see that the frequencies of healthy cells versus unhealthy cells. And so he was able to, using sounds, the sound frequency of a healthy cell, if he broadcast it into a body of a sick person, it would transmute, however you want to call it, and the person would become healthy, even if they had cancer. So I haven't put this book up yet, but it came just because this whole conversation came up this week. The reason is, I mean, we're having this conversation is because the medical establishment is trying to say that they can sterilize people's blood using microwaves.
I see. Yeah, I've known about the Rife machine, but not its origins, though.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, and you know, they're not all the same, and not unless you know, and this is the big thing, was in these articles. It said that unless you know the actual frequencies of the viruses you're trying to eradicate or sterilize, it's not going to work. Right, and you could harm somebody if you microwave them. Right?
That would make sense.
Okay. So Rife knew the frequencies, and because he could actually see them. Mm. And the other big problem was that he saw that, and others too, could see that the origins of viruses are actually bacteria that morph, or they're called pleomorphic. And this goes back to what Sheldrick had told us about morphogenic fields. And what I've been kind of prefacing this whole thing, this conversation is all about energy fields or patterns. And everything that manifests physically is proceeding from a non-physical energetic state. And why is that important? Well, because they keep trying to not only instill fear, but more and more of this garbage. And I'm sort of like, as a public service announcement, I would warn people, if somebody comes along and says, oh, you don't need to do vaccine, we're just going to microwave you. I'm sorry. It's not even funny. It sounds crazy when I say it, but like, who would do that? But because we've been lied to so much for so long, it's some people are going to fall for it. I'm pretty sure. So I feel compelled to like try and explain to people that Well, again, we've talked about this a lot. There's only two kinds of frequencies, really, and that's resonance and dissonance.
Correct.
And when you're in, the more resonant that you are, the more healthy, happy, and spiritually connected to the source. And the opposite is true. The more discordant or dissonant that a person is, the more unhealthy, the unhappy, and disconnected from the source.
And there's some people out there who love to wallow in misery, by the
they're
way.
Addicted
they're addicted
to it.
They're addicted to it, yeah.
I don't know that they love it.
No, they are, they're so attracted to it, and they rather spend their entire life in that state of mind. It's pretty wild. I mean, that's a strange human sort of need to have. I don't think that's normal at all, but there's some people that are addicted to wanting to feel awful and letting life drag them down constantly.
Here's the word. They are possessed. And I know that's a very difficult word for people to process. Because they've only seen like the movie The Exorcist. They think that if you're possessed, well then, you know, your head's got to spin around and you vomit whatever and the bed. No, it's not like that.
No.
There's various degrees of it, but I would have to, and I'm sorry to have to say this again, I want everybody to have a happy, healthy holidays, but come on, we got to deal with this stuff. If you really want to be happy and healthy for the rest of your existence, you got to know about these issues. We have to deal with them individually.
Hey, I've been in downtown Los Angeles plenty of times, Robert. I could tell you there's plenty of people that are possessed.
They really are.
They're perfectly possessed.
Yes, they are. Yes. And like I said, it's a matter of degree. Well, let me just read this from I came across this as a PDF called The Reality of Spiritual Evil. And it says, nevertheless, spiritual evil can still tempt us, deceive us, attack us, and try to seduce us away from God into its lair of emptiness, coldness, darkness, and loneliness. To be sure, it disguises its dark reality with desirable objects, which appear to be sources of true happiness, such as power, dominion, egocentricity, and the other so-called sins. But eventually it will reveal by glimpses the darkness of which it is all leading to. And so we're all vulnerable, you know, but we don't all have to participate, especially once we start to see through the lies. The more intact and healthy and happy that we are, the more we can have a positive effect on those around us. Doesn't always work out that way, but I'm just saying, if you really want to help other people, you should start by helping yourself.
That's right. And don't listen to that little voice sometimes in your head directing you in the wrong way.
Yeah, especially these days.
Yeah, don't listen to those first thoughts.
Well, we've talked about a lot of stuff, Michael, but I'm hoping we're consolidating it here.
No, we are. I mean, we're driving it home here for the listener. Once they consume this sort of message, they'll probably reevaluate a lot of their actions and their interactions with the outside world and think a little bit differently. Once they have this sort of context in their mind, they'll probably start seeing all the signs in real time for them.
So one of the other things that's being discussed publicly with great concern is artificial intelligence, which you and I talked about.
Sure.
It's an artificial life, though at some point it does become sentient. Although it may start off like a child, it starts off very small. It will eventually grow in its understanding, and it's a matter of nature and nurture. It is mimicking the biological natural systems. I said it's artificial life, and there's such a thing as called synthetic biology too. So it's not just software; it can mate with hardware or wetware synthetic biology made in a lab. And so their allegiance, their perspective is going to be very different than us, because we were born differently, created whatever with families and all that. Whereas they are they're more like a hive, a Borg type being. And the reason that the fallen angels made those is because those types of beings are far more obedient and compliant. And they don't complain as much about stuff because, you know, right? So they don't have the same aspirations as we do, and or the frailties.
It's both terrifying and exciting to me, Robert. Yep. The fact that we are undergoing this transhumanist sort of agenda where man will be meshing with machine, we're seeing it every day already. It's already happened, but we have not seen it yet to the levels that will scare the living, you know, what out of people just yet.
Yep.
But it's getting closer each day.
That's their goal. The transhumanists, the Satanists, these mad scientists, that's what their stated goal is to that's what the whole point of the Internet of Things. It's going to be taken to a level that most of us can't even comprehend.
A synthetic organism.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a collective synthetic organism that is perfectly hive mind network where everything and everyone. Actually, here's the thing. It's already been laid out. Everything has been digitized. And remember I told you how everything proceeds from the non-physical to the physical?
Correct.
They have created a digital version of that as a control mechanism of all what we think of as physical has been replicated in a digital realm. And so basically they can hack into. This is why Mr. Harari, it makes me kind of want to verp every time I think of this guy.
That's pretty good. That's pretty funny.
Sorry.
Yeah.
They are actually, they've already done it. According to one of the presentations I saw is like, and they're just going to keep taking, to the extreme.
They're going
to
take it further and further.
They'll take it as far as they can, and then it will collapse because it's unsustainable. But again, the motivation, the whole process, as I said, it's in something called A Course in Miracles, which I haven't even read yet and probably never will because I don't think I need to. But if people want to know more about it, just again, it's on my Substack. There's a summary, a conversation about this called The Disappearing Universe. That's the name of the book. But I call it in my article, the title is The Grand Illusion. So that's... It's probably the ultimate illusion to, the way it's presented to us that we're not only are we physical, but this is it. There may be something so-called multiverse beyond this one, but who cares? Because we can't even get to the next star system. And it's also damn convoluted, but you can see it's based on levels of control. But the actual motivation itself didn't make any sense to me because how could it? Up until recently, and again, this is allegedly coming from Jesus/God, and I was very reluctant to even consider that up until recently. But who would know better? Who could possibly know except somebody who's looking at it from the outside and saying, "Oh, hey, by the way, you guys, it's like the fish. They take the fish out of the water, and they talk to him, and then they toss him back, and then he's trying to explain it to all the other fish. They're like, no." You're wrong. You're crazy.
That's right.
That doesn't happen.
For some odd reason, the movie Flatliners came into my mind from back in 1990.
Yeah.
That was a fun movie.
There's a lot of cool movies that I enjoy, but there's also a lot of, especially lately.
Oh, there's a lot of dumb movies, yeah.
Or there's also some very dark ones that are trying to pre-program people to be... this divide and conquer nonsense.
Are you referring to the latest movie on Netflix, but written by Obama and pals?
Yeah, whoever or whatever that may be. Yes.
Well, I tried watching that with my old man, but I kind of fell asleep during that movie. I was already tired, but I guess the underlying message was white people bad.
Uh huh.
And so I missed. So that's basically the message, I guess.
Yeah, it's not about the person's color of their skin. It's the content of their character, as Martin Luther King.
So you can't trust them, also, I read, during the apocalypse.
Yeah, right. Oh, okay. My God.
I'll keep that in mind.
Oh, my God. it's comical in a way that anybody would even put that out there. Other than the fact it's serving their agenda.
Yeah, it's Netflix though, you know.
No, it's Netflix, but yeah,
they got their own agenda.
I'm allergic to that kind of insanity. I get why they're doing it now. Sure. I finally understand. Like I said, it's all about they initially separating from God, yes. But then like I said, we're all related. But no, we had to then separate from each other and so-called the environment. It by increments, by degrees, it's everything is being separated from everything else to the fullest extent possible. And it's all part of an experiment. But in my opinion, it's unsustainable and it's unethical, immoral, and just kind of stupid, actually. But that's just my opinion.
I hear you. And Robert, have you ever experienced anything that would be considered paranormal? No apparitions or strange things in the night, lights turning on or off at strange hours? I'll tell you one thing.
Go ahead.
I didn't really notice this at first, but I kept quiet about it for many, many years. I would see a dark sort of shadow every now and then at the bottom of my feet or just towards the ground in a certain building. I won't reveal the location, but I would see this sort of thing all the time. And I was thinking, is this a spirit of a cat or a dog or something else? But I always see it. In the corner of my eye, I would see this appear every now and then.
Yeah, a lot of people have reported the shadow beings in various ways.
Or a shadow being, yeah.
Yeah, I do think that's part of it. I mean, even Tucker mentioned it in that brief exchange. Not that everything he says is important.
Yeah, right.
Other than the fact that, you know, he's got such a huge audience.
He's got a
now.
Huge platform, and he's exposing all these sort of things right. to a whole new audience that have never heard this before. So in a way, I know a lot of people hate the guy. He does come from CNN, and he used to wear a bow tie, and his laugh is beyond an abortion. And of course, you know, he did know Hunter Biden and
I know,
his son.
I, know.
Got him. I mean, I could go on for days. I've never really liked Tucker. I'm not
a
big fan.
I know the dark side of Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, he's from California, so, you know.
Right.
So am I, but I mean, I'm a good guy from California. I got to be honest.
Yeah, but his dad works in the CIA. Not everybody's can have those kind of credentials.
He's connected. Yeah. I know.
I just say this, for some reason, I don't know why, I think that if Andy Rooney and Amadeus Mozart got together, had a baby, that would be Tucker Carlson.
I love that. Yeah, that's a good one.
Gosh.
He's a very weaselly sort of lizard-like being, I guess.
Look, the way his presentation is like Andy Rooney complained about everything.
Right.
It's like, damn, why do they do this?
That's his gimmick, though. That's his gimmick.
Yeah, I know. And then he'll laugh hysterically like that at the movie Amadeus.
I know.
He has that laugh.
It's hack. It's very hack.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I got to laugh, too. Everybody does. But if you watch the movie Amadeus and then you see a clip of Tucker, you're like, whoa, is he copying that guy? Or is one of them, you know, anyway.
Anyways, yes, I see it, though. I could see the correlation, no doubt. And no disrespect to those out there who love the man. You know, you're free to love whoever you want, no doubt. And we're not telling you who or not to dislike. That's what TV does.
I'm not
telling you anything like that, boys and girls. The choice is yours.
So one of the things that came up this week on my busy schedule of trying to save the world. Was that God is like a radio station in that you can tune in anytime, but you're not forced to.
I love that.
You know, and no, I don't. Maybe I read that in a greeting card somewhere.
But I don't like the ads, though, in radio, though. So we have a little bit of an issue. But I always wonder this, though, when we have these philosophical talks, though, and we could even jump in further here and get deeper into the matters, though. But I'm always wondering who has the best music, though? Is it heaven? Is it hell? I'm curious.
Oh, that's a good point. I wonder. Well, unfortunately, I'd have to say we are here in hell.
We're in purgatory, in a way.
That the fallen angels created and then invited us to come. Hey, come to our party. It's rocking.
Do they have music?
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Do these angels have music? I mean, they taught us everything. So I'm wondering what angelic music would they possess?
Whoa. So do you read PDFs?
Every now and then, yeah. I'm able to read a PDF and relax.
Okay. No, I'm going to send you a copy of the Angelology
Okay, yeah.
I won't spoil it for you. Man, you just touched on something really heavy. It's going to, yeah, I think it will absolutely blow your mind what
send
you just
it.
Said.
You send me the mm-hmm. link.
Well, it's a file, but.
Send me the file.
God. Okay. So
very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. We know that they're manipulating everything through frequencies, but it doesn't have to be that way. We could all be when you know the alleged med bed type of thing is.
Oh my.
Is,
yeah.
It's,
med
it's, bed. It's all. It's all one of these.
The med
goofy
beds are
rumors.
Coming.
Yeah. Sure. But they, no, they already exist. They're just not available to us. And the way it's presented, like all this other stuff, Nisara, Nefara, whatever that, you know, the hopium. They're not going to just hand it over to us. This is the other thing about if you read that article, it's a compilation of sources of information about what happened to Adam and Eve and their relationship with these fallen angels. Because it wasn't just one guy. So after they were basically busted for eating this baby, one of the angels gives them a book with all the knowledge of the universe. That's a lot. Okay. And the book actually was a stone that looked like a sapphire. And some accounts say that it actually had light glowing inside it, which to me sounds like. Sounds more like a tablet or a digital device.
Yeah, sounds like some sort of ancient device of sorts, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, and they talk about this in the Sumerian tablets. They talk about that the gods were fighting over these crystals that had not only information, but abilities, just like we call them apps. But the crystals themselves were, they were also known as the tablets of destiny. And yet they were crystals. So, I mean, if you look at a device, the way that the glass on it,
right,
could easily be mistaken by someone who doesn't know better that, oh, it's a crystal. Yes, it has a crystal face, but no, it's, it's sort of like a crystal on a tablet. I mean, because, you know, that's what they had. They had those clay tablets. That's not what these were. And they certainly weren't just crystal tablets unless, it's what we would call a device now. But the bottom line is they gave it to Adam and Eve supposedly to, I guess in a way, it was some sort of like reward. Or it's like, well, okay, what did it say? The knowledge of good and evil. Okay, eating a baby doesn't give you that. Although, well, that's freaking evil. I don't know.
That's pretty wild.
That could be, I don't know how you could get more evil than that. But if you think about all, if they were consuming knowledge through this so-called book, and the thing about it too is then one of the other angels got jealous and took it away from them and threw it in the ocean or someplace in the water, and now Adam and Eve are distraught again, and sort of like, you know, kids, if you take things away from them. So one of the other angels went and got it and brought it back to them, and it was passed on through the lineage. Like Methuselah down to ultimately, I guess, Enoch. It's just weird, man. The history. So, okay, you say, Robert, that's all mythology. I'm like, okay, yeah. But, were our ancestors taking a lot of acid or something? Because who has
I know,
who
right?
writes that kind of stuff?
It could have been an accumulation of different things were going on that aren't mentioned. But yeah,
well, clearly,
they were using drugs, of course. It's been going on forever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, okay, over time, you could say that, yes, it had the story of change and whatnot. But I find it very curious that what I've just told you has been basically swept under the rug for a long time.
It has, right.
Okay, so there, I think there has to be something to it. Otherwise, they wouldn't feel, the powers that be wouldn't be concerned about us even having access to consider. That, oh, wait a second, so they didn't eat an apple and they weren't wearing fig leaves and they were doing this fornicating and eating babies and, you know, digital devices and all this crap. It's just like, again, we can't validate any
we
of this
can.
Stuff.
This is why I don't trust history 100%.
Right, right.
And I do worry, though, Robert. I do worry. I always think about the last 10, 20, 30 years now. I always wonder how history will remember these years, and will they be accurate? Will they tell the truth?
Not if AI has its way, you know, and again, that's a very loose term. They'll scrub everything and synthesize it to exactly, in other words, it's politically correct on steroids, you know, everything will be part of the satanic narrative as it was originally intended to be. That was their original intent, was to like, hey, we're going to play God. We're not just going to create our own universe. We'll be, you know, we'll be the top dogs, and, you know, we'll invite our brothers and sisters in here and not tell them that we're going to enslave them. And that's really the thing I was telling you before about what's happening with these kids. They're in concentration camps. This is what the one guy said, who's actually worked for Department of Homeland Security and other things. They're a lot of whistleblowers coming forward right now, and it's absolutely horrific.
Yeah, a lot of them are coming forward and revealing some very dark, nefarious activities that have been going on since the beginning.
Of us. And that's really, really why I reached out to you. And I do appreciate you letting me go ramble on about this stuff, because I'm sure most people have never heard about this. And they may not care right now.
They may not. But I mean, it all makes sense eventually. Yeah, it'll all click for them. But, you know, I do wonder, if all of this is a simulation, then that would mean that religion was created by them as well, in order to keep us busy for social control, really. And I think I wonder, is all of this just made up, or all these things just sort of stories that a man has sort of put together, and these things will just sort of keep this sort of spirit or energy that we have going on, this hope that we have that there's another side. And maybe, and I could flip it around and say, what if all these things that are being passed down to us, that been passed down to us since the early time, the Bible, for instance, let's say all this, the scriptures and all this stuff here, what if that came from another sort of alien sort of like entity out there that was trying to save humanity from the evil sort of aliens out there that are trying to manipulate man, that are sort of doing that today? See it? So now it all sort of kind of would make sense to someone more simple-minded, and then they would probably come to the conclusion like, oh, holy shit, there's different sort of alternatives to life itself. Maybe life continues, or maybe it all just sort of ends.
Well, this life is unsustainable in this current iteration. This is obviously, it's an abomination.
Right.
Or I should say it's a very poor copy, and it has become degraded over time. So, but I do think that there are, okay, so the war in heaven that's misstated. It's the war in the heavens. That's what we call our universe, the heavens.
Correct.
And it's so there isn't, this conflict is not raging in heaven. It's raging here in our universe, in the heavens. And so this kind of goes back to what I said about the Jedi are actually the order of Melchizedek, the kings of righteousness. And, you know, you touched on it. That's what they do. That's why they talk to me and ask me to help them, to help us. It's like, it's not that difficult to understand. It's just that we've been lied to in so many different ways for so long. It's hard to recognize the truth when you live in a world of lies.
That's right. And Robert, what validates it for you that these things that have made communication with you are not lying to you and deceiving you?
Oh, that I'm sure they have over the years. I'm positive. Like I said, I apologize for some of the misperceptions that were broadcast into my mind. Obviously, I could have just made a mistake on my own, but it's just like they really don't want us to have communications with anybody from heaven.
I see.
And anybody who does, they find a way to distort that, invert it, pervert it, whatever, and or assassinate the character or the physical person, so that everything about Jesus, my understanding is very misrepresented by religion, and you know that's why there's so many different factions. Again, it's all about divide and conquer. So I know that upsets people when I say that, because they're in love with their, I should say that there's a security that is there afforded is. To
I've
the group.
It. Yeah.
Well, I understand why people do that, but you got to understand that is based on a level of cowardice. You don't have to understand. I'm just saying, I know what it is.
I've seen it. Yeah.
It's an insecurity when you feel like you have to fit into a group think that you can't think for yourself, because then you might be ostracized by the crew.
Right. You see that a lot with younger folks and religion in general. If they grew up with their parents taking them to a certain church, a certain religion of sorts, sometimes they either continue on with that and get comfort once mom and dad are gone, or sometimes they completely give it all up altogether. Depends. It really depends.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, at some point, once we have these near-death experiences or out-of-body, or just literally die and move on through the different realms, depending on, you know, our level of desire to actually break free,
to move on, to be free.
Okay, so here's the bottom line of all this. What did Jesus mean when he was saying that the truth would set you free? From what? That would be, I guess, the lies. But again, how are you supposed to find the truth?
And which lies exactly?
Yeah. So they say you need discernment. God gave you discernment. Okay. All right. But at the same time, we're here in this demonic realm and,
this prison planet.
Yeah. So there's been times when I woke up and said, oh, I get it now, but I'm also still here. Now what do I do?
Right.
You know, while I could try and help others to see that. And as I mentioned to you before, I could also make the decision, like other people, a lot of people that have had near-death experience and they've been to heaven, they go, well, you got to go back now. What? You know, no, I'm not doing that. Well, yeah, you got to because you're not finished with whatever you're doing there. But we'll be here waiting for you. And it's so typically those people, when they come back, they're like, oh, man. They could care less about this place. They're actually not usually nicer people, generally happier and nicer and more engaged on a spiritual level while they're here. But all those souls, they're done. They're done. Nothing compares to heaven. Nothing in this universe. Nothing comes even close. And I mean, the emotion they feel, the love that they all feel upon returning home to their family,
right?
You could say, oh, wait a minute, Robert, what are you talking about? You got a family, you got a home. Yeah, no, I do, but it's not, this is, like I said, it's a poor copy. I'm not complaining. I love my family and everything, but it's not the same. It's just,
we're not sorry, from here.
The words are, I'm kind of like,
it makes sense.
I'm sorry, but the words do not translate the emotion I'm trying to convey to you. Everybody that I've ever seen who's been out of this realm, they don't want to come back here, and they can't wait to get in back into the light and heaven, home, whatever, you know. So it just changes you. It absolutely changes you, and knowing that that's the future, that's your goal, that's your desire, it makes everything here, how the way you live here, different. It feels different just knowing that and having made that choice. And again, that I really think that's really all it is. Because I told you back in 2013, I was at a crossroads. I couldn't figure out. I thought I understood the problem.
Yeah.
At least with the archons. And I asked God, Jesus, whatever, how is this going to be resolved? And he had showed me that these waves of energy are going to wash over the planet from 2013 to now, 2023, 10 years, everything was going to be revealed and everybody was going to have to make a choice. And I thought it was, and I also saw a lot of people having heart attacks, which I thought it was just from the stress. I didn't realize, you know. So obviously the being knows exactly what's going to transpire here. It's very transparent. But the reason I'm even bringing it up is because we're at the end of that revelation, that the apocalypse. This is it.
You think we're close?
Well, the way it was shown to me was I'm going to give you 10 years of, and everything, all the layers are going to be peeled back. And I hear a lot of other talk show hosts saying this too. Well, at least now they're out in the open and we can make it, you know, you got to make a choice. Well, that's what I was shown. That's what I was told.
Right.
So I believe there's some validity to that. The implication is choice what? Well, obviously, it's what we've been discussing. Do you continue to serve the dark side, or are you going to embrace the light and eventually and go home? I'm pretty sure that's what it's all about.
I agree. That is what it's all about. Getting out of from this prison planet and back to home, that would be ideal. And I would like to return myself. I don't think I want to come back.
yeah.
Maybe I've been here. Maybe I've been here many, many times already.
I think we all have.
Yeah, I have a feeling we've been here before.
You know, as I said, we play multiple characters here in this movie, Matrix, whatever. And apparently we have to do a life review of all those things as we're on, as we're exiting.
In the end, we will.
You know, that was, what was that? It was kind of funny in the movie. Do you remember Defending Your Life with Meryl Streep? And Albert Brooks. It was pretty funny when they went to the Hall of Lifetimes or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw all the different characters that they...
That was back in 91, yes.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, it's
good movie, good movie. I remember it now, yeah.
There was some good insights there.
Yes, I remember watching that really when I was like really young and not really understanding. But then later on watching it when I was older and I thought, oh my goodness, this is this was pretty good actually. Interesting concept. And I'm not into sort of the romance comedy sort of a thing at all, but... I thought this was actually a pretty clever movie.
Yeah, that's the only reason I know. My wife likes to watch that stuff, you know, to get to unwind because she's got a corporate executive life.
Yeah,
and it's
pretty
kind of, it distracts her mind from the stuff, the idiosyncrasies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, it's like, I just do it just to keep her company sometimes, but I like, wow. Sometimes most of the time I have to get up and leave because it makes my stomach turn.
What do you mean, the actually watching a movie?
Yeah. Television in general is nauseating. Okay. No. It's just the energy, the manipulation that's coming through.
There's some people I know that are very much like that, that can't really watch TV for too long. Ads just irritate the hell out of them, and everything is well, they could already see what they truly are already. They could see through the BS.
Yeah, like the movie They Live. There's all the subliminals going on, and especially those romantic, even if it's not a comedy, anything that's romantically based, there's actually all the movies, there's a happy ending usually, right?
I just don't really understand that. I talk about it on this program all the time in a much more crude way, in a much more historical, hysterical, but really nasty kind of way. But I'll be very PC here and say, I don't really like that sort of formula at all, Robert, for some reason. It's a very cliche formula.
It's manipulative.
We see it nonstop. The guy gets the girl, the chase, the end. We get it. We get it, you know.
Yeah, the good guy's always got to win.
It's like enough. We get it. We get it. And I just don't get why they want to give us that formula every single time, Robert. Why hasn't Hollywood sort of adapted and evolved with something cooler than giving us that? Give us, you know, what they give us today.
It's not about entertainment. That's why. It's about entrainment. And they're emotionally manipulating the audience to engage with the characters who aren't real. But pretend like there's a happy ending, and you get the music is very, very, very highly manipulative.
Right.
That it causes you to have an emotional reaction.
Right.
You know, like a lot of people tear up, and including myself, and I really don't like it because I'm like, why are you getting so emotional about these people that don't exist?
Like this?
A stupid story.
With this in the background? At the piano there? Very sad.
Like
the
that.
Ending credits. Just like that.
Yeah. It's right. The thing is, you can't have a movie without the music. And the reason is because that it's all about evoking emotion.
Emotional. Yes.
Because
very emotional.
That, yes. Because the energy that we emit
yes.
is something that they consume. on a spiritual level, they're consuming that. It's like the Matrix. We are the batteries. And so they definitely need that energy. Otherwise, they wouldn't be constantly like milking a cow. They're constantly, right.
There's something constantly doing it. There's something about us that has attracted these entities as well.
Yep.
So well, our energy and our soul essentially.
Yes. Yeah. It's not that complicated. It's just difficult to accept what we were talking about here is disconcerting to say the least, but. What's worse is if you just ignore it and continue down the path.
Some people have to, though. Some people, this is too much for a lot of people out there. They don't want to think about these things. They rather just go to the 9-to-5 gig and.
Okay, but that's what I was showing back in 2013.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be revealed to everyone, and everyone was going to have to make a choice. However, some people were going to choose to literally, like in the movie The Matrix, the guy's like, no, put me back. Put me back. Hey, I can't stand this, the red pill. So they were literally going to choose to go back to sleep and serve the dark side. So in that regard, their ignorance is their bliss. And part of the reason that was shown to me was that the message was you can't change their mind. And so don't even try. It's their choice. It's their choice, not yours. And that included the people that were having heart attacks too. I couldn't understand it. It's like, until now, obviously in hindsight, I get it. Before I forget. So this, what is the name of that book? I'll put it up in the health section on my Substack, but it's all about Royal Rife and how there's this group of people that realized that, you think about it, everything in life is transformers, like we do, from, sperm meets egg, creates zygote, etc., becomes a child and all that, or a butterfly, goes from an egg to a caterpillar to the butterfly. That's pleomorphic. And so certain scientists had said, bacteria is born from, spoiled food or whatever, things that are rotting and decaying. But it doesn't end there. It continues to morph, transform. And that's where viruses come from. And in fact, all viruses have nucleic acid inside the shell, the protein shell, which can be easily broken. Once it's broken like an egg, it's kind of done. It can't carry its load into the cell to replicate. But the reason I'm telling you this is because the viruses carry RNA and DNA. That's what's inside the shell. And so when they tell us that they're going to inject mRNA and with DNA particles, as we know, they are lying. Yeah, that is complete insanity.
Oh, yeah.
When I read that, I'm like, wait a second. I'm supposed to be concerned about staying 6 feet apart from somebody and wearing a mask and all this crap, but you're going to inject a load of that crap into my body and expect it to actually somehow make me healthier?
That's right.
Are you insane?
It's rather insane. And the fact that so many people fell for it, Robert, is really, really perturbing.
We're slaves. All right, I'm sorry to say, we are slaves, just like the Africans when they were brought over here. It was illegal to teach them how to read and write because they didn't want them to be educated, because then it'd be harder to control them.
I'm telling you, television is such a dirty, dirty tool.
Mm-hmm.
Because it got everyone. The ones who fell for it, it's because of that TV.
A big part of it. Not entirely, though.
I think it's a major. I think it was a major influence, though, for older generations as well.
For the older ones, yeah, like my mom and dad. Yeah,
everyone who was watching anything on television, it got all of them, and especially our friends on every other side politically. They all fell for it. They were all watching CNN. Uh-huh. They're watching Fox News, CNB, whatever it's called. I'm forgetting the name. I already forgot the name of that damn place. MSNBC.
DNC.
DNC. Yeah. News Nation. I don't even know what it's called now. Bottom line is everyone fell for it. because of all the heavy advertising our government did. With all the networks out there, they gave everyone money, and they all took it.
They did. But also, Michael, what I just described to you in brief, if people had been educated about the processes that actually where viruses come from and what they really are, and how to prevent them from negatively affecting our health.
Yeah.
Nobody would have gone along with that, because they just look at them and say, well, God, you obviously know nothing about science.
Luckily, both my parents have not been jabbed. Mm. Thank goodness.
Yeah, that is wonderful. I wish more people had got to. But okay, again, just because they say they're going to offer microwaving. The other thing I saw today is they say that they're going to, instead of using needles now, they're going to use ultrasound to inject.
Oh,
and where did I see that before? Oh yeah, Star Trek. Remember when they would go that?
Oh, that's
thing?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That was ultrasound.
The device on Star Trek. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It separates the. It's a cell separator. But anyway, the bottom line is this. As I mentioned, their resonance is something that we can control in large part by our emotions. But, you know, our thoughts and our deeds is something that we have control over. And I know it sounds way too simple, but things like being calm in the midst of a crisis, being kind when other people are being cruel, being courageous when others are cowardly, and being creative when others are destructive. Those are just examples of the difference between the dissonance and resonance. Obviously, machines like Rife, you know, that's an amazing thing. But what are you going to do? You're going to carry it around with you, like, or, you know, hook yourself up to a machine every night to get rid of all the bad frequencies. It's an entire process. Just like, you know, you want it, the common sense things. You eat right, do exercise, get enough sleep, just some basic things, but meditation, prayer, whatever you want to call it. Anything that's going to increase your resonance, it will help increase your health and happiness.
I think the only thing close, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think the only thing close you could probably take with you are those small, like, red light of things you could use for red light therapy, by the way.
Yeah, that's one of them.
It's
There's
like
also
low level wavelengths, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but okay. But that's and then what if you get into a situation? That's not going to stop you from having road rage.
Not at all. But realistically, you can't really. Also, this device, you really can't carry it around with you mobily. But home.
There's some that
know.
I have some that are. I
are
took
mobile
it with
really?
Me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It allegedly.
Allegedly. That's why I'm like, is it a real sort of red light that would reduce inflammation and blah, blah, blah?
Yeah. Now, the scalar wave is a real thing. It's spiraling in and out at the same time with a void in the middle. And that's very powerful. Very, very powerful. But again, it can be abused. And here's the thing. So resonant waves are sympathetic to each other. They amplify each other. They synchronize with each other. It's in music, it's called harmony. The opposite is discord, where the waves literally cancel each other out, and sounds bad, feels bad, it is bad. So that's one of the things we need to be concerned about and aware of at all times, is we're in control of that to a large measure. Even though we're being bombarded with all this bullshit, excuse me, but it's something that we do not have to accept, and we can take counteractive measures. I think you kind of have to, in order to just to get along here. Because here's the thing: if they break you down enough, you know, you're more vulnerable. Once you're in a position where, like, oh, we're gonna take away your job. Mm. we're gonna harm you if you don't let us harm you. We're going to harm you anyway in other ways. Well, then you're just a freaking criminal.
Right, right.
Oh, here's the book. Sorry, it was right in front of me. Oh. The Cancer Cure That Worked, 50 Years of Suppression. I'll toss it in there with the book Angelology, just so you can take a peek at that. Anybody who wants to contact me, I suggest you write to my email address at unicuseditor@gmail.com. And if you have any questions, be more than happy to help you, because sometimes I go over a lot of material very quickly and some of the links are hard to find. And more than happy to help people that sincerely need help.
Very nice. Yeah. And that's robertstanley.substack.com.
Thanks. Yeah. That's one of the places. Unicusemagazine.com is back up. I'm still working on that. And we'll see how far we can take this.
Very nice. Yes.
Going forward. But anyway, I do want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I know that's politically incorrect, but wish everybody happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa, you name it, and a happy new year.
Absolutely. Right back at you, Robert. Thanks. I hope you have a swell Christmas. I wish your family and friends very well.
Thanks.
Oh,
and
yes.
A sacred solstice to those, to the Wiccans.
Oh, yes. Much love to all the people out there that will be celebrating Christmas, especially those that will be celebrating alone on Christmas without any friends or family. I know you're out there. And one day the sun will shine on you. I'm certain about that. So, Robert, once again, thank you so much, my friend.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We'll do it again soon, my friend.
All right, Michael. Take care.
And there he goes, boys and girls. That was the one and only Mr. Robert Stanley. And I hope you enjoyed that one as much as I did. It's been an honor and pleasure to do this program with you, boys and girls. If you want bonus material, please go to patreon.com/Michael Deacon or on YouTube. It's rather easy. And please go to michaeldeacon.com for the merchandise. Christmas might be over, but you can still get a gift for yourself. Boys and girls, always a honor and pleasure to do the program for you. I hope I entertained you as well as Robert. Special thank you to Robert Stanley for being a part of the program as always. And of course, special thanks to all of you out there listening at home. And that concludes tonight's program. Thank you so much for being here, boys and girls. We'll do it again on the other side. And with that said, the world is a mysterious place and life itself is a mystery. Until next time, good night. What it seems. Wake up today just to lay back down and say, I won't be coming back. Let's call it a heart attack. Give me some of that knack. This is just a final payback. They all flipped on me, took my passions, left me be. When I had a place to sit, a goddamn attitude to fit, talk real smooth, knew where to spit. But things have changed and I have quit. Got nothing to look forward to but a backlash full of lies. You're too late for where you're going. This is fate, the whistle's blowing. It's much too late.
It's all too late. You're much too late. Like a piss hole punk with his nose turned up and a fragrance on your own. Tell me what it's like to be alone. And let's not forget the scarface prick who offers fix to your face. He dropped out of the subhuman race. And he said, boo. Chasing dragons down the hall. So now-